You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome in. It is a brand new week of the Gym Class coming your way here from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. I'll be joined by Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Isaac Elzing on the other side of the glass, our producer. We got a dandy show coming up for you today. Lots of things to go over. Big news, not officially coming out of Iowa City, but all but officially coming out of Iowa City. We'll talk the Iowa quarterback situation with you. We'll talk college football, but we'll also talk some professional football, a little bit of basketball, and more. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is your way to communicate with us. 319-366-1600. You can also pick up the phone and give us a call. Digits the same. 319-366-1600. Coming your way on a Monday on 1600 AM 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. As we get started with another week past the midway point of the month of November, hard to believe. And Mark, a pleasant Monday to you on this rainy day in eastern Iowa.
Yeah, likewise, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And yeah, it's a new week, week 10 in Iowa football, and a new old quarterback for Iowa, perhaps.
A new old quarterback. Could it be 3.0 coming up on Saturday? Hi, Isaac. How are you?
I'm good. I'm kind of glad that you don't have to spend the entire week talking about who is going to be the starting quarterback on Saturday for Iowa.
Oh, we know now.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Again, it's not nothing officially out of the University of Iowa athletic department as of yet. I don't know if they're going to put anything out. They may wait until Kirk Ferentz's news conference tomorrow where he will break out the news. But in case you have not heard, numerous reports, I think starting, correct me if I'm wrong, Isaac, this morning with CBS Sports. They were the first to report it. And then all the good folks that cover the Iowa football team, including David Eicholt, who we will talk to tomorrow from 24/7 Sports, all reporting that Brendan Sullivan is out for the year for the Iowa football team. The was the backup quarterback, became the number one quarterback after the injury to Cade McNamara. I always want to say Cade McNown. I mean, Cade McNamara suffered that injury. Brendan Sullivan came in, had two very good games, got injured in the UCLA game. Iowa ended up losing that ball game with Jackson Stratton, the new number two coming in. So, again, it's not official, but it is all but official, and I think we'll find out tomorrow exactly all the details, or at least a few more of the details. And you can hear that tomorrow on Spencer on Sports with Coach's Cuts. He will have that for you from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Spencer on after us today as well, taking you up to Iowa State men's basketball. Iowa State and IU Indianapolis, the former Ooey Pooey invading Ames, coming up tonight. And Coach's Cuts brought to you, as always, by Network Computer Solutions. And again, they will be tomorrow during the 4 o'clock hour with Spencer on Sports. But, Mark, we can only, I guess, take for its word and value that we will not see Brendan Sullivan the rest of the year.
Yeah, I trust the reporting that has been done, according to sources anyway, by some of the guys that you talked about, including David Eicholt. And the depth chart has been released. Not that it's all-knowing, all-telling, but Iowa's released this depth chart for the game at Maryland next Saturday morning, and it has Cade McNamara number one, Jackson Stratton number two, and Brendan Sullivan not on on the chart. So I would imagine we'll get this confirmed tomorrow with Kirk Ferentz, and my question, does anyone care at this point? I'm not trying to be, you know, gaslight the situation by any means, but Iowa at 6-4, battling for a second tier bowl. I mean, does it really matter anymore? I think for some it really does. For others, no big deal.
Well, there are many factors on why it may matter to a lot of people, and I'm sure one of them would be monetarily. Isaac, you laugh.
I know Justin's got some interest out
Justin's got some interest, among others. like 38-30. Yes, we know you have an interest in Iowa football. But my question is, yes, not only your question, but I will piggyback that with, what are we going to see with Cade McNamara 3.0 coming up for Iowa? It is back to a drop-back passer. Listen, Cade can run if necessary, but he is not Brendan Sullivan. Maryland is going to know this, and I'm sure Iowa, knowing that Brendan Sullivan is not going to be under center, has had Cade McNamara back there for the better part of a week, preparing him during the bye week. I guess that is a positive. Is it going to be a different Cade McNamara back there? Remember, I'm not sure, Mark, if he's 100% healthy, really, at this point. We know about the concussion. We don't know about anything else as far as Cade McNamara's injury background is concerned after, what, about a month that he has not been in there as the signal caller for the Iowa football team. So, I mean, he's got to knock the rust off. And like I said, is he 100%? And then, if that's not the case, he goes down, then you're with Jackson Stratton once again.
I've said many times, while this is the most important position on the football team, and it is for Iowa, there are other factors on this Iowa team that need to be cleaned up. And Iowa has not done well on the road except for winning at Minnesota and having a great second half. I suspect, while Iowa's favored by almost a touchdown, this is not going to be an easy game at Maryland. Maryland trounced by Rutgers over the weekend, but I saw it play against Oregon in the first half 2 weeks ago, and it looked pretty good. The second half, not so much. I'm not trying to boost Maryland's resume by any means, but I guess what I'm trying to say is McNamara coming back in, you don't know what you're getting. The defense not performing up to snuff against UCLA, the offensive line, same thing. So it's more than McNamara, but he is the most important. That position is the most important spot on the field. And good news, one piece of good news is Addison Ostringa is back on the depth chart at tight end for Iowa after missing several weeks. So that's good.
Yeah. It is. 319-366-1600. Jeff weighing in on the text line, just love to see him have a good game. And, yeah, if you're a diehard Iowa football fan, if you follow the Hawkeyes high and low, near and far, and even if you don't, I think you almost want to see Cade McNamara just have a really dynamite game during his Iowa career. I don't know if it's coming up this week. And you talk about Iowa and what they have to play for, Mark. How about Maryland at 4-6? Senior day in College Park, I believe. They're also playing for their bowl lives. I guess we're going to find out real quick in the first quarter if Maryland came to play, if the bowls matter to them. Iowa's already bowl eligible with 6 wins. And, you know, in this new era, I don't know how kids are going to react once they know they're not in the college football playoff. Now that they know they may not go to an upper tier bowl, I don't know. I'm waiting to see how this is all going to play out.
Yeah, for a lot of teams, we talked off the air about the records in the Big Ten and Big 12, aside from the upper tier teams. Right? And the Big Ten, you've got four teams that stand out far more than the rest of the league. You've got 13 other teams, I'm leaving out Purdue, that probably could beat someone on any given day. And there's a lot of 5-win teams, 6-win teams, 4-win teams. And you have the same thing in the Big 12. Aside from BYU, Colorado, Arizona State, and Iowa State, the rest of the league is just mediocre. I don't know. Or competitive, or whatever word you want to use. So I think some people want to see McNamara have a good game for a couple reasons. Just the fact that that would mean good news for Iowa. And secondly, now that Sullivan's out of the picture, I'm not sure they want to see Jackson Stratton in there. Maybe they do. Maybe they remember the two rifle passes he had against UCLA. But Tim Lester, the offensive coordinator, said he's got a long ways to go because he hasn't worked with the number one. So as far as the question on the text line, Sullivan having a redshirt year available, I really don't know. All I know is that he did not see any game action his first year at Northwestern in 2021. Whether that was a redshirt year or not, I don't know. Played in 22, played in 23. He's played this year. You know, I get confused about medical redshirts, COVID, and all that sort of thing. I can't say one way or another.
He has played in more than four games this year, though. So my first inkling is that no. 12:07, he would not be available for a red shirt. Just the way it goes. But you, one thing as far as the NCAA is concerned, you never know what's going to happen. First example, take a look who's playing center for the Kansas basketball team. Hunter Dickinson is, 32 years old, Isaac, something like that?
Around there. That sounds like right ballpark.
Yeah. Not AARP age yet, but he has been around a long time. And, hey, if you find the right amount of circumstances, you might be able to finagle an extra year from the NCAA. 319-366-1600. As we talk the Iowa quarterback situation here, Brendan Sullivan out, Cade McNamara is back in as QB1 for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and going to find out a lot more coming up tomorrow. I would imagine anyway, when Kirk Ferentz meets with the media and talks about it, discusses it, and see what the quarterback situation is all about. Iowa State men's basketball, we mentioned that coming up tonight. The Iowa State football team, the time, if you have not heard, for the kickoff in Salt Lake City has been announced. That will be a 6:30 Central Time kickoff, 4:30 with the pregame. And, of course, a big thanks to Lisa Nolan at Lisa Nolan Realtor, the Cardinal sponsor for Iowa State football, men's and women's basketball here on 1600 ESPN, as Iowa State will take on the Utah Utes. And there's another team, Mark. There is another team that we do not know how they are going to come out, because it is going to be senior day in Salt Lake City. Utah has to win out to get bowl eligible. Knowing and watching Kyle Whittingham teams over the years, there's a lot of pride in that Utah program. I got to think they're going to come out slugging. We'll see. Like I said, I don't know in this new college football playoff 12-team era how it's all going to work out at the end of years. We'll find out.
Yeah, we're going to. The most important thing is Iowa State got a victory, and sometimes that looked iffy on Saturday night against Cincinnati, but it was a victory to get to 8 wins. We all knew at the start of the year this game at Utah, and certainly the closer against Kansas State were going to be very important, tough games. But Utah, we know what has happened to it. I think you hit the nail on the head with Kyle Whittingham and his teams, and they're going to play hard. And, they've gone through a lot the last couple weeks, losing that tough game to BYU and then getting beat by Colorado. I'm not sure how much Utah has left in the tank, but we're going to find out coming up Saturday.
Yeah, all one-score games in the last six. Well, last five and five of the last six for Utah. They are on a six-game losing streak after winning their first four. But you take a look, Utah, yeah, things have not gone well, but their schedule has been very, very difficult. They've played at Arizona State. They've played TCU. They've played BYU. They've played at Colorado. Put 24 up on the Buffaloes. And right now, Colorado, I think even the most ardent Iowa State fan would say that Colorado is playing the best of any Big 12 team. I think we're going to see tomorrow night in the latest college football playoff poll that the Big 12 is probably only going to get one again projected into the college football playoff, and that's going to be the championship game survivor. And right now, everyone is projecting Colorado to take that. But BYU let a lot of folks in. Did Iowa State a big favor on Saturday night when they lost at home to the suddenly red-hot Kansas Jayhawks, who, oh, by the way, play at home, well, at Arrowhead, against the Colorado Buffaloes on Saturday, which suddenly is a very entertaining and a very interesting game, especially for a lot of other teams in the Big 12, Mark. But you take a look at Colorado's lone loss on the year, or one of their losses anyway, and that was to Nebraska, who's a Midland team in the Big 10. More than likely, the Big 12 is only going to get one team in.
I would agree with that, and this Big 12 could end up in a four-way tie. You talked about if Kansas knocks off Colorado, BYU has to go to Arizona State. Nobody's talking about Arizona State, and Arizona State stands with Iowa State and poised to maybe get a piece of the Big 12 title share. And don't ask me about the tiebreakers aside from head-to-head. It goes, you know, a lot of these teams don't play one another. In the Big 12. So maybe BYU doesn't play Colorado, doesn't play Iowa State, on and on and on. So it'll come down to the second, third criteria in that league. And let's see what happens this week before we get into that.
I did do a little bit of a search for Iowa State and just taking a look at the tiebreakers and how they would play out right now. And since Iowa State does not play BYU, does not play Colorado, does not play Arizona State, got a break in the schedule this year, no doubt about it. With that being said, the non-head-to-head tiebreakers, if it all plays out and Iowa State wins their last two, Cyclones are looking really good to get to the Big 12 championship game. Now, Iowa State's got to win the last two. And I think Cyclone fans would agree with me. Iowa State's going to have a better showing in Salt Lake City than they had in Ames on Saturday night against Cincinnati. It was a good performance. It was a much better second half for Iowa State after a tie game at halftime. But it was not a great Cincinnati team on the other side. Iowa State can do it. They got to get a little healthier, starting to get a little healthier. We'll hear from Matt Campbell coming up tomorrow. The Big 12 is just kind of a mess. A mess right now. And Coach Prime is sitting on top of the pile. And everybody loves that.
I'm concerned about Iowa State's injuries. It had many going into the Cincinnati game, and Singleton, the defensive lineman, went out, didn't dress the second half, among others. So that's one big concern I have for Iowa State. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Gabe Burkle from Cedar Rapids Prairie, a tight end, six catches, 73 yards. Really had a big impact in that game.
Good kid, great family, terrific football player. And the very interesting thing about Gabe is he came up, as you know, Mark, and everybody that follows high school sports around here, basketball was going to be his big sport.
Yeah.
And kind of went out for football as, I don't want to say an afterthought, but he was more of a blocking tight end in that Prairie scheme that Coach Mark Bliss had when he was the head coach at Prairie. Didn't catch a whole lot of footballs with that offense, and all of a sudden Gabe Burkle has turned into one of the top receiving threats for Iowa State.
Yeah, with Ben Bremer being out the top tight end, out with injury, and he really had to come through big time. And Steve Klotz, another tight end, kind of a H-back sort of player, came up with a big touchdown reception. So it's, you know, very much the old axiom, next man in for Iowa State at a lot of positions. And if Iowa State wins its last two, pretty darn good 10-2 season.
And the first 10-win season in Iowa State history, I believe I read that. If I'm wrong, please let me know, and I know Cyclone fans will let me know. 1345, and 1345 brings up a very good point here, Mark. Iowa State's special teams have been terrific. They have won them games. Not saying that the fake punt won the game the other night, but it certainly didn't hurt. 1345 saying I was at the game and that fake punt faked me out big time. Perkins sold it very well. Special teams. That's why you go over special team stuff every single day in practice, because you never know when it's going to either rear its ugly head or help you out. I'm sorry, Mark. It's too soon, right?
Yeah, especially when you're blocking on a field goal attempt. But that's a story for another segment or another day. But that was Klotz, right? He was blocking back, and Iowa State pretty much shut down the left side of the line of scrimmage on that fake punt. Cincinnati didn't have anybody coming on that side, and the two blockers over there really sealed that off, and that was a huge play in the game.
That's good scouting. That's all that is. That is breaking down film, tape, whatever, and saying, hey, look, they are doing this. We can do this, and we can beat it. And they did. And it was a big help for Iowa State. 319-366-1600. Alex, thank you. Saying that Iowa State and Purdue are the only two FBS teams without a 10-win season.
Really?
Interesting. Drew Brees did not have a 10-win season. They were only playing 11 games back then. So you had to go 10-1 in the regular season to get into double digits. You like that, Isaac? That's Scott Arithmetic 101 today.
Yeah, I like that. I was looking at the Big 12 tiebreakers. I don't understand them at all.
Oh, but did it give you a headache?
Yes, a little bit. But I do like the last resort, which is coin flip. And that's what I am rooting for.
You're rooting for chaos.
Yes, I think that would be awesome. If a championship game came down to a coin flip.
Strength of victory is in there, I know. There are other things that go into play. And without playing, Iowa State's going to get a boost now because of K-State at the end of the year. They can only hope K-State wins this week, which is going to help Iowa State. And then beat the Wildcats in Farmageddon. As Cyclone Tim reminds us, it will snow in Salt Lake City on Saturday. Iowa State tends to play well in the snow. yeah. 319-366-1600. Oh, 1345 says, I think it's State and Vanderbilt, not Purdue. Maybe they're wrong. I don't know. Did Drew Brees win 10? I mean, Purdue went to the Rose Bowl, didn't they? 1 year under Tiller, Mark? I'd have to go back and look.
No, Isaac needs to go back and look.
I'm looking it up right now.
All right. Isaac is on it. They did. Yeah. We need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And before we do that, we have the opportunity to let you know about today's winning word. And in the chance of the year, let's try this again. The winning word in the year-end bonus contest from 1600 ESPN. We know that a little extra cash at this time of the year will go a long, long way to help you and your family. And that's why we're giving one local winner $500 to help pay bills, buy presents, use however you see fit. And today's winning word is New, N-E-W. Enter that word right now at KGYMradio.com for a chance to win $500. And when you do that, you're also put into the national drawing for a $15,000 grand prize. Again, enter the word new at KGYMradio.com for a chance at a year-end bonus from 1600 ESPN. Do we have confirmation?
Yes, it is Vandy and Iowa State. Indiana used to be on that list of never having a 10-win season. That has since changed. Obviously, Purdue did it in 1979.
Oh, 79. Okay. Back that far. So Drew Brees never did win 10 games. Yeah, Tom Allen got Indiana 10, I believe, a few years ago. Mark will have more on that, but they also did the same thing that they did over the weekend with Tom Allen. And I think they're still maybe paying him. Mark, let's get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday with food available until 9 o'clock. And their delicious menu is available for you to take a look at online at emilshideaway.com.
You set that up on a tee for me, Scott. I appreciate it. Indiana coach Kurt Cignetti received a new contract over the weekend. It is an 8-year deal valued at $72 million. We'll see how that works out at Ohio State this Saturday. Madden Greenway, a 5-star recruit in the 2026 class and daughter of former Iowa football star Chad Greenway, announced her decision on a college over the weekend. It is Kentucky. Iowa was among the top five. The All-State volleyball teams were announced today, and Chloe Meester of Mount Vernon was selected the state's player of the year. NCAA Division III football, Coe received a bid, as did Wartburg. Coe will play a first-round game at Bethel, which is in Arden Hills, Minnesota, southeastern Minnesota. Originally, Coe was announced as the home team, but upon further review, the NCAA found that Bethel was the higher-seeded team and therefore will host. Speaking of the NCAA, finally, the NCAA women's soccer tournament continues this week. Iowa in the round of 32 after its victory over Missouri State on Friday. The Hawkeyes will play Georgetown in the second round Friday at 6 p.m. in Los Angeles. Apparently, Indianapolis was not available.
How many people did they get for the game, Isaac?
I never saw a final number. I never got a final number. But I know they averaged like 1,500 per game this year, which would, if based on last year's numbers, would make Iowa a top 10 school in attendance,
cool.
Soccer attendance. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Iowa Georgetown, bringing back memories of 1980, Mark, in men's basketball. We will get to basketball coming up. A little bit more on football first, but some tidbits after the Iowa win. The Iowa women with a win, a hard-fought victory. How about Katie Dinneberry yesterday for the Drake Bulldogs with dropping 40? She was terrific, but we'll talk more about that coming up. A little pro football as well for you when we return here on the gym class. Oh, before we go, Mark, let's let everybody know about the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 and who our winner was this week.
Well, pretty average week for the panel. Average means me. I won. Myself, Dave, and Spencer all with 3-3 records. You were 2-4, Scott. But more than anything else, whoever was stuck with me wins a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway.
Well, stuck is the right word. You were picked last, if I have to just let you know, Mark. But that was Dana, who I will call in just a moment.
All right, Dana, congratulations.
That'll teach you people.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and have more for you on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And rain will remain persistent as we head through the day. Temperatures will remain mild in the 50s as the winds will be strong out of the southeast at around 30, 35 miles per hour. As we head into this evening, a few thunderstorms will be possible and rain will wind down overnight. The winds will stay strong and temperatures will remain in the 50s. We'll then have temperatures staying mild in the 50s to start the day Tuesday with colder air arriving for the rest of the week. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gades and Terry Adams of Dairy Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement Here For You, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Dairy Ford in Iowa City.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star, and it is Monday, and that means roasted whole chicken is on special. It is $5.99, hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. And saw some of that earlier on today. Stopping this morning, it looked absolutely delicious. And don't forget, still potatoes on sale, 5-pound bags of russet potatoes. They are just 99 cents a pound. And, of course, you need potatoes for all of your holiday meals. And, of course, those cozy fall recipes as the temperatures start to drop this week. And also some great deals going on right now at your neighborhood Quick Star. And they include Quickery tortilla shells. Great for taco night, $1.99. Package limit 2. Don's Pizzas, 4 for only $10, limit 4. And Quickery White Bread, 99 cents per loaf, limit 2. All that and many, many other great things available at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Did your IT provider break up with you? Or did they raise your managed services rate sky high? I'm sorry to hear that. This is Patty with Network Computer Solutions. At NCS, small businesses are just as important as bigger ones and deserve the same exceptional IT services. Give us a call at 319-247-7223. We'll talk over what you need and how we can help. NCS would be honored to welcome you into our circle. Call today.
Siebke Hoyt Jewelers Black Friday sale is coming.
Hey, we're Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
Bling on the holidays and come to Siebke Hoyt Jewelers for great savings all weekend.
And free gifts like diamond stud earrings,
a G-Shock watch,
a diamond tennis bracelet, and more, depending on how much you spend.
This weekend you can give and receive at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers.
Love local and come for Black Friday savings at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers.
Corner of Collins Road and First Ave.
Where Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
We are back with you at 3:37 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga with you. Spencer on sports next from 4 until 6. Iowa State basketball tonight. Iowa State will take on IU Indianapolis from Hilton Coliseum. The final tune-up before Iowa State heads to Maui. And a week from tonight, mark it down on your calendars, Iowa State and the Auburn Tigers in a first-round game at Maui at the Lahaina Civic Center. It is going to be a beauty. And this will be a tune-up tonight for the Cyclones. Some good stuff on the text line, Mark, that we need to get to here. As far as the Big 12 tiebreaker is concerned, they should have both coaches pull apart a wishbone, and whoever gets the biggest piece wins the tie.
Perfect.
And very Thanksgiving-like, too. It's a theme registering with that. 0208, Katie is a good player and a phenomenal actor. 20 free throws. Yeah, you got to remember, Iowa was the road team yesterday. And you don't get as many calls on the road, even when you are Iowa. And again, for the 8,458th time, I will say thank you to Iowa and Iowa State for continuing to play UNI and Drake in women's basketball, because you get good games like they had yesterday afternoon in front of a big crowd at the Knapp Center. That was terrific. And Dennebeer is a really, really good player. 58-22, congratulations to the Loras women's soccer team. They are on to the D3 Sweet 16. You knew that, Isaac, though, didn't you?
I did not, but...
You didn't?
Congratulations to them.
Well, way to go, Duhawks. And we'll get to Cyclone Tim. I imagine the NFL and other sports leagues may have second thoughts about Netflix handling games after their handling of the fight on Friday night. I was not going to partake in the fight or watching said fight, but I was out at a place that had the fight on, watching the Iowa-Washington State game. And they were having all sorts of issues. All I can say, Mark, is get this thing fixed before Christmas Day. Or if you thought you heard angry people at a exhibition boxing match, wait till the NFL games are not available for people to watch on Christmas.
I should imagine they'll get it fixed in time for the Chiefs and Steelers kickoff. That's what you're not talking about. The other game, right?
Oh, no. Yeah. There are two Chiefs, games.
Chiefs and Steelers, yeah, but I didn't partake in it either. I knew it was just going to be I didn't think it was going to be quote-unquote real life, real fight. I felt bad for Tyson. I felt good that Jake Paul, bowed down to him, did whatever he did, but I'm not saying the thing was staged, but these guys walked away with $20 and $40 million. But I have to say, I mean, it attracted millions and millions and millions and millions of people, and millions and millions and millions of people were pissed off because they couldn't see it for periods of time. Now I've talked to others who it was just fine, depending on how you bought the fight, whatnot. But there was a whole lot of people upset leading up to that fight, maybe during the fight. I don't know.
Did you watch it, Isaac?
I did.
What'd you think? I did not, so you're going to have to... What is your honest opinion?
The actual fight for Paul versus Tyson was whatever. You could take it or leave it. It was about what I expected, which was not a real boxing match. But I will say, Serrano and Taylor, that was an awesome fight. Serrano got robbed on that one. And judging in boxing has long been an issue. Which
not any better?
Nope, still bad.
Still like that, NFL officiating.
Serrano out hit Taylor by over 100 punches, and she lost somehow. Doesn't make any sense to me. And then the Barrios Ramos fight before the Serrano Taylor fight was also awesome. That was a split draw. That was incredible. So there were actually two really, really good, if you actually like boxing and combat sports, there were two really, really good boxing matches on that card.
Good. I'm glad there was. I feel good about that. 9663 says they had Netflix. It just went blank, but you could hear the sound.
Wonderful.
And it was a nice way to make easy money. Well, I don't know. Would you take a punch from Mike Tyson to make $20 million?
He made 40, I think.
Well, he made 40. Jake Paul made 20. So would you take a punch successive?
The other way around, guys.
Well, was it the other way around?
Yeah, I think Paul made 40. Tyson made 20.
Okay. That's still a lot of money. That's still a lot of money. 319-366-1600. Yes, 65 million people watching that fight. The co-main event lived up to the hype, minus the decision, says 0835, agreeing with you, Isaac. Weren't able to watch Tyson Paul and glad I didn't. Didn't miss anything.
I mean, she out-hit her over 100 punches. I don't know how you can award Taylor decision. Taylor did fine. Like, that's a really good job. If you saw Serrano's cut, she did some awesome damage to her. But Serrano clearly won the fight, in my opinion, but didn't win. So, boxing, man, they really got to get that judging situation figured out, because it's been like that for forever, it feels like.
Has been. College football, before we leave that, Mark, Georgia bounces back, beats Tennessee. Alabama does what they were supposed to do to Mercer. Alabama goes to Norman on Saturday night to take on the Oklahoma Sooners. If Alabama, you got to think, if Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas all have one or two losses, there's your four teams in the SEC. I don't know what they're going to do with Ole Miss, how they're going to play into the rankings. There you go. If you want to complain about the SEC, but I think they got five legitimate teams, Mark, that deserve to be in the college football playoff ahead of a lot of other teams. I don't know if they're going to get five, but they're going to get four for darn sure. We know that. BYU losing, we talked about that. Before we leave, the last thing I'll say about college football is, okay, it's cute to have these games in baseball parks and baseball stadiums, but when you can't see touchdowns when you're watching a game, I think you have to question several factors, and that is what happened in the Ohio State-Northwestern game at Wrigley Field when people kept standing up and you couldn't see touchdowns being scored. Oh,
yeah, that right field line's problematic, isn't it, at Wrigley Field? But, the SEC is just a different animal, to your point. It's just a terrific league. Ole Miss gets left out. That's a team that could beat a lot of teams that will make the playoffs. We'll see what happens. That league's a mess, too. There could be multiple-way tie for the championship there, and that all needs to be sorted out. But I'll tell you what, going into this week, nobody had Oregon, Indiana, and Army as the lone unbeatens on their bingo card.
No, they did not. Maybe Oregon. Certainly not Indiana, and certainly not Army. Army Notre Dame, by the way, this week at Yankee Stadium. That's going to be intriguing. Navy's kind of fallen off a little bit, but Army, we'll see what they are made of coming up against the Fighting Irish this week. And what happens if Army beats Notre Dame? I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think it's going to happen, but, man, what happens? Because Notre Dame probably then is out maybe with two losses. Is Army overtake Boise State to go into the college football playoff?
Do they overtake the Big 12 champion?
Do they overtake the Big 12 champ? Right now, people are saying Boise State is going to be the number four seed because they're going to overtake the Big 12 champion in the football pool. So
don't overlook SMU and Tulane either.
No. Did Paul bet the purse on himself? Did he bet the whole $20 million? I have not heard that. But that's what in 98-69
sounds
says.
Sounds like something he would do.
That sounds like that's rolling the dice. That is certainly rolling the dice. Greg and Epworth, by the way, somewhat condolences to your Bears from him, Mark. I'm just kidding. Being the Packer fan that he is, giving it to you a little bit. But the final thing on that fight says Taylor headbutted four times, did a lot of hugging. Serrano had a great fight, but she was hosed and cheated. Seemingly, Isaac agrees with you as far as that is concerned. Your poor Bears, Mark. My goodness. They had a chance to beat that, finally end that 10-game losing streak. And, hey, I love how it was just absolute pure luck when the Kansas City Chiefs block a field goal. No one's saying it's lucky when the Packers block a field goal. Am I wrong, Isaac?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you.
I will say Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coordinator, called his shot, though, ahead of the game. I don't know if you saw that, but he said, I will be shocked if we don't block a kick in this game or get a block. So there you go.
Yeah. Mark, I'm sorry about that as a Bear fan for you.
Well, that's okay. I expected a Packer blowout, and I was encouraged that it was even that close and the Bears had a chance to win the game. What I'm not happy about is the Bears whining about the Packers possibly violating the rule on kicks and punts. The rule, part of it says you cannot hit the snapper when his head is down. I think the Packers might have, but big deal. They made a heck of a play. Yeah, they did. I think they did hit the snapper when his head was down. But get your head up and block somebody. And just like anything else, don't put yourself in that position. You know, why let the clock run down when you got a chance to move even further down the field? It's same old tired yarn about the Bears, but at least I was encouraged a little bit, and I don't disparage the Packer fans at all. The guy made a heck of a play at the end of the game, like Chanel did for the Chiefs.
It was a good play, and the Packers get the victory. Interestingly enough, with everything that went on in the AFC yesterday, there's a pretty good separation. Seven teams are going to make the playoffs in each conference. And right now, there's a really big separation in the AFC between seven teams and everybody else after Cincinnati lost to the Chargers last night. The Bills right now, I mean, it's all but over. They have a four-game lead in the loss column already over the Miami Dolphins, five in the win column at this point. The Jets and the Patriots are dumpster fires at this point. Steelers and the Ravens have a three-game lead over the Ohio teams. There's only going to be one team from the AFC South. The Texans play the Cowboys tonight, and three teams more than likely are going to get in from the AFC West, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos. So AFC has pretty much taken care of itself already, as we are still in November for their seven playoff teams. It's just a matter of who's going to get that number one seed, and Buffalo got it a lot closer yesterday after the win against the Chiefs. And congratulations to the Bills. They deserve to win that game.
The Super Bowl might be the AFC championship game. The AFC got so many teams. It's loaded. It's loaded. You take the NFC and Detroit, terrific team, and could go all the way. Philadelphia, a nice team as well. But it's not like the AFC. You saw what Pittsburgh did to Baltimore. Pittsburgh's a problem. And Buffalo, of course. You know, there's nobody really in the South to fear, I don't think. But that AFC West is – Denver looked good yesterday.
They did.
The Chargers survived, unfortunately. And Kansas City, don't discount – I mean, they're just it's loaded. The AFC is just loaded.
Chiefs-Steeler game Christmas Day is going to go a long ways, says 96-63, and I will second that. I said Chiefs had to go 1-1 against the Bills and the Steelers, and so that means they got to beat the Steelers down the road. We'll see. All right, 3:52, we'll take a break. Did not see this coming down the road, and it has not happened for a while, but a little goodwill to a team that has not had a lot of goodwill over the years. We'll explain when we come back on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN.
In Iowa, farming isn't just a profession. It's a purpose. You can feel it in our 29.9 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 72,000 Iowans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $159.5 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose too, to help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose, paid for by Bayer.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Max Bankman, I'm the new doctor.
Welcome aboard the Odyssey.
ABC Thursdays.
This ship is heaven. We're tending to our passengers' dreams. I'm in.
From 911 executive producer Ryan Murphy comes a splashy new drama on a luxury cruise ship with Joshua Jackson and Don Johnson.
It's your job to keep everyone alive.
She's in VFib. One, two, three. Clear.
I have a pulse.
You're going to be okay.
Dr. Odyssey, Thursdays, 9, 8 central on ABC and stream on Hulu.
At the Home Depot, we know Saturdays are for college football. That's why we have everything you need to never miss a play, like Behr Dynasty Interior Paint, their most durable one-coat hide paint ever. From a team color statement wall to a fan cave, complete with a mural honoring Nick Saban's 17-year dynasty.
Hey, I like that idea.
Nothing beats Behr Dynasty Interior Paint. It's everything you need all in one can.
Defend your game time with Behr and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Valid only when tended to colors from the Behr Dynasty and Marquee Interior One-Coat Hide Color Collection.
Back with you at 3:54, wrapping things up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. David Eicholt's going to join us coming up tomorrow to take a look back at the Iowa Drake women's basketball game and a look ahead at the Iowa Maryland football game, and also the Iowa men in action tomorrow night against Rider. Iowa State men in action tonight against IU Indianapolis. And Mark, I said before the break that you don't see positive texts and positive just any social media interaction with the Iowa men's basketball team as of late, but they had a lot of that on Friday night and into Saturday after the game over in the Quad Cities against a very, very solid Washington State team. Didn't know what to expect from the Cougars, but they looked very good in that game. And now Iowa men's basketball has to build off of that. Keep going. It's going to be interesting to see if there are more people there tomorrow night, but there was actually more positive talk about the Iowa men's basketball team than the football team, I think, over the weekend. Granted, it was an off week.
We'll see if it translates. I mean, this was goodwill earned at a neutral site, a place where Iowa doesn't play it all too often, and people were hungry to see a game. 6,000-7,000 people, something like that. We'll see if and when it translates to Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Yeah, and will it put more butts in the seats? This is a fun team. This is a fun team to watch. Drake is off to a good start, as we mentioned. We'll talk to Kevin Lehman coming up, the coach, with our Off the Glass segment on Thursday. He said UNI is a very fun team to watch. We'll see. The Panthers are 2-2. We know how good Iowa State is. Maui is going to be a whole lot of fun. I mean, Iowa State could play Auburn and then play North Carolina, and who knows who they're going to get in the championship game, but they're going to be tested out there starting next Monday. It could be a fun hoop season. We know the women's side of things is going to be really good. I think the men's side of things has a chance to be really good as well.
There's already some games that, you know, indicate that. Purdue with a big win over the weekend as well. So we're going to get into the meat of the schedules here real quick.
Yeah, that Purdue win over Alabama, that really was a head-turner a little bit. Not that, you know, Purdue is bad or anything, but I really thought they were going to struggle against the athleticism that Alabama brought. But it just shows home court advantage makes a big, big difference. Not to say that was the only thing that pushed Purdue over the top, but the Mackey crowd certainly helped in that one. Then Cyclone Tim saying the Detroit Lions can and probably will beat anyone this year. I think they're still scoring touchdowns against Jacksonville.
Yeah, don't get too caught up in that game. It was Jacksonville, but Detroit's very powerful, and if there's any team in the NFC that can take down the AFC, it's Detroit.
Caitlin needs to go to a men's game with Connor. Well, Connor's busy. Connor's coaching over at Butler, so I don't think you're going to see that happen anytime soon. David Eicholt will join us coming up tomorrow. Mark, have a good night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
Spencer on Sports is next right here in 1600 ESPN.
ABC Wednesdays.
Y'all complain all day. We want books. We want paper towels in the classroom.
Bet you want raises, too.
I'm still waiting on the paper towel.